Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Gil Gross. Good to have you with me. Look, in other hours of the show tonight, are we going to do what happened to the Whitewater hearings today and Vince Foster? Of course. We're going to get to a lot of other important hard news stories of the day, of course. But as you know, on Friday night, every once in a while, we need to goof off a little. And to I don't know how to explain this hour of radio to women. I'm going to stereotype here. 99% of the women listening right now will find this hour of radio the most obnoxiously dull hour of their life, okay? This is a guy subject. Now, you're going to think, well, it must be about sports. No, no, it's more guy, than much more guy than sports. I'm not saying women can't listen, but and I don't know why this is. Women certainly listen to music. They all listen to music. It's just that that's all they do. A woman will buy maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 CDs or tapes, more likely tapes, in a year. Guys collect. Guys have walls of records. Guys, women, you know, when you marry a guy, what are you marrying? His records, right? Right? You know, the kid comes, and what's the big problem? Who am I going to do the records? We take this stuff really seriously, okay? Now, we can't buy records for the most part anymore. Few dance tunes, a couple of other special things are being done on records again now. But for the most part, you might as well go into an auto showroom and ask for a horse as to go into what's still oddly called a record store and ask for a record. In fact, the weird thing about record stores these days is you can get videos there, you can get posters, you can get CDs, you can get tapes, you can get Nintendo games, you can get anything at a record store except an actual record. And that apparently has many of you ticked off. And that is what we're going to address this hour. There is a feeling, and whether it is a feeling or a reality is what we're going to try and get at here. There is a feeling among all the guys out there with their walls of records, all of whom are replacing all the scratched up, had them since college, records that they love with the CDs because they don't snap, crackle, and pop. That, I don't know, maybe it's nostalgia, maybe it's something, they don't sound as good. There's this pervasive thing out there when guys talk about their records that, I don't know, that maybe it's they're little and the artwork's not as big, and maybe I'm a baby boomer now instead of in my 20s, and I have to squint to read the damn fine print that they call liner notes on these CD things. But I don't know. I miss my records. And there is this thing, and I have to say thing because I'm not going to know till the end of this hour whether it's true or nostalgia, whether we're becoming like our parents. Boy, I was better in the old days. Car had 8 cylinders instead of 4. I was a car. Whether it is really true that records sounded better than CDs, that CDs, more expensive, are in some way a jip. In the studio with me is Michael Fremmer. Michael Fremmer is senior music editor of Absolute Sound magazine. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Great, Gil. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. And I see you brought Mike's record collection here.
Well, this is hardly my record collection. I brought a few visuals for people with good imaginations.
How many records do you have, or CDs, or anything?
I got about 8,000 records, I think.
Nothing.
Not a big collection. Yeah, well, I weed and seed. I'm not into like having just the mass numbers. It's only things I can play on a regular basis. So 8,000 about covers.
You actually give some stuff up?
I sell them, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, you buy them at garage sales. You buy 50 or 100, then you sell back 30 or 40. Keep the money, buy more records.
I still have my little golden records.
Probably collectible at this point.
Yeah, but a real guy doesn't sell them. Ken Pullman is on the phone with us. He's professor of music engineering at the University of Miami. Ken, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, guys. Nice to be here.
Good to have you. Are you a collector, too? Are you get bitten by this horrible bug?
Well, in terms of CDs, yeah, I've got maybe a couple hundred or a thousand CDs, but I never really got into LPs for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of bypassed that stage, I think.
How old are you?
Oh, I'm 40 years old, but LPs just never bit me.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into this then. Michael, Absolute Sound is one of those magazines that almost takes the stand that CDs stink.
Well, no. We have people who like digital that write for our magazine also, although it's kind of a cliche that we don't. We have many writers who like CDs and many writers who don't. And, you know, at this point, I'm ambivalent. There are certain things I like about them and certain things I don't like about them.
All right. Are they better or worse? Are LPs actually better, or is this like, you know, mom and dad saying, our music was better, Glenn Miller is better than that,
I think without
that
a
Pearl Jam
without
stuff, young man?
Without a doubt, records sound better. An analog recording pressed on a record sounds so much better than a CD. It's not even funny. It's been that way since the beginning of the CD era, when at first it was so terrible, I couldn't believe people were saying how great it was, but that's because they never heard a good record. Which I think is the case here. Oh, can I read you a quick paragraph?
Yeah.
This is a guy that publishes a magazine. I can't mention the name because it's out of business, and I got this today. He says, Dear Michael, you may remember me as the editor of blank. I had to write to tell you that your past correspondence and phone conversations were not in vain. These were dozens of conversations trying to educate this guy. I am now convinced. Yes, vinyl is better than CDs. I got this today. It was so wonderful to get. Because I finally said, go out, listen on a good stereo, on a good turntable, do all the comparisons you want, and see what you think. And he finally agreed.
All right. Ken, what do you think?
Well, I can tell you that I would disagree with most of that. I'll tell you, I'm a longtime musician. I work in a school of music as a music professor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm around music all day, every day. Like it or not, I've got 800 musicians around me playing music.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what live music sounds like. I know what real music sounds like. I've got that imprinted in both halves of my hemispheres of my brains forever.
And your musicians sound more like a CD than a record.
And when I listen to a recording, a CD sounds a lot more like live music than any LP ever has.
Well, what are the complaints? Let's try and get specific, because this is just kind of a general feeling that's out there among a lot of people. Michael, what's the difference? I'm in home listening, and if I've really got nothing to do with my life, I'm doing like A-B comparisons between, you know.
That's what I do with my life, so please, don't say that's what I spent the last 15 years doing, just that. But I get paid for it. But not a lot, but I get paid for it.
Yeah, okay. All right. So what is the difference? It's just kind of a vague feeling to a lot of people. What's the difference?
Sonically, to me, the CDs always sound hard and cold, and there's a separation between... It's like, to me, CDs are like pornography, and records are like actually having sex. That's the best way I can put it to you. It's like, it's clean.
No holes in the middle jokes. Come on, everybody. Okay. Stop it.
It's
everybody
clean.
Is making up their own jokes in Radioland. Stop it.
It's clean. Yes. It's pristine. It's got this kind of sound to it. It just doesn't sound like when I go to the symphony. It's warm. It's burnished. It's got this certain quality to it. I just don't get it on CD. And in fact, a lot of musicians agree with me, and a lot of musicians don't. So the fact that Ken's around musicians is not really the issue, because Keith Jarrett's on my side, Neil Young's on my side, even though he records everything digitally.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people on both sides of this who have the chops and have the education, whether it's being an engineer or being a musician, on both sides of it. And that's what makes the whole debate fascinating to me.
Okay, Ken.
Well, you know, I would say that in some ways there's some very, very nice little subtle things going on here. And I think that for some very psychological reasons, some of what Michael is saying is absolutely correct. There is a very warm, fuzzy feeling when you listen to an LP record. There's no question about it. But I would argue that that's stuff that's being added to the music, being superimposed over the music, that might sound nice and might sound charming, but it's not faithful to the original presentation.
Well, what Neil Young says is, he said, this is my album, Everyone Knows This Is Nowhere, is now available on CD, but it's not as good as the original, which came out in 1969 on vinyl. I would like to hear guitars again, and the warmth, the highs, the lows, the air, the electricity, the vibrancy of something that's real. It's an insult to the brain and heart and feeling to have to listen to this and think it's music. Now, he knows what the master tape sounds like. He made the music.
Yeah.
And when he hears the CD transfer, that's his take on what he hears. So, see, this can go back and forth all night, and hopefully it will.
You know, my impression, in fact, there's something very cool about what you're saying. My impression is that when people listen to analog, it reminds them of the old days. And we would all like to be back in 1969 because we all have fond memories of 1969. In part
Chappaquiddick, Vietnam,
we've blocked out all the bad memories, right?
Yeah, okay.
We have a lot of good memories. I mean, I drive a car that was made in 1968. I agree that the new cars are far better, but I still like the old car.
I drive a 72. What do you drive?
A Porsche, 911.
I got a Saab, an old Saab. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and Ken's got a CD player in his, and Michael,
I do too.
Michael has an LP player.
No, I have a CD player. I have a CD player on both of my cars.
No, I would not violate my car with a CD player. Not this one.
No, I don't blame you. No, I agree.
All right, but this is another show, guys.
He's
in
a radio
cars.
That only plays German.
No cars.
Yeah, if we're just trying to kill every female listener I've got, we could do Guys in Their Cars in the hour after this one. But
let's go Dolphins.
So I think a digital recording belongs on a CD, and an analog recording belongs on a record.
On an LP.
Yeah, and I think it sounds more. I think it sounds more faithful to the original.
Can I say, before we get into calls on this and stuff, and see whether people have the same feelings about this or not, whether they're nostalgic for their LPs or they think that you know, people think this are absolutely bonkers, and whether people have the same feeling out there. See, here's my thing. I've replaced a lot of my albums with CDs of my favorite albums. In fact, I don't think I bought, like, a new CD until, I don't know, the sixth or seventh year they were out. I think everything I was buying was stuff from my favorite records, because as wonderful as my favorite records sounded the first couple of times I played them, by the third or fourth time, the vinyl's peeling off, and by the fifth or sixth time, it's, you know, it sounds like a bowl of Rice Krispies. It's snap, crackle, and pop.
How many pennies did you have on top of your needle? Because I can play my original Beatle album from 1964, and they cream those CD reissues.
Yeah,
they're
but you
terrible.
Probably, you work for the Stereophile magazine and stuff.
Don't say Stereophile, that's our competition.
Oh, that's right, okay. You work for this Absolute Sound magazine, and you've probably got, like, a turntable at home that looks like it was designed by NASA, which most of us don't have,
but,
you know?
Not in 1965, I did. Not in 1966. I don't remember 67 and 68. And 69 and 70, I had like a duel, but I was fanatical about it. I mean, I was one of these anal retentive guys. I was a record Nazi. No one touched my records in the dorm. It was locked up. You know, I admit it, you know, but...
Girls, remember this? Oh, yeah, you can touch me there. Oh, you can touch me there. Don't touch my records!
That's exactly right.
Don't put your thumb on my records! But is this bringing back memories, women? Is this why you all resolved to stay single and never marry one of us?
My wife still says that.
Well, you know, I think vinyl sounds good if you don't play it. That I'll agree with.
Well, hundreds of plays on my Beatle albums, and the Stones albums on the original British Decca pressings after 20 years, they still cream. The CD's like...
What about your Cream records?
The original British Reaction pressing of Cream, the CDs that just came out on Gold CD that Steve Hoffman remastered are fantastic. They're almost as good as the record.
The thing is, though, we don't have a choice anymore. In a way...
Well, you do.
How much, some stuff is coming out. Actually, it's one of the reasons we did this. There's actually stuff coming out on LP.
More
again.
And more every day.
The Pearl Jam album came out on LP.
It's the kids
the
that
new
want
Rolling
it.
Stones album is out on CD. On LP.
Green Day, Soundgarden, Nirvana. It's more and more. Neil Young's new record's coming out on vinyl. More and more groups are insisting
because
on it.
Because people in their teens and 20s are demanding it.
They want it, yeah.
Now, why?
Two reasons. First of all, just because their parents are going CD, so it's a thing of it. It's unbelievable. The kids are saying, I don't want that CD crap. That's for my parents. I want records. I think there's a psychological thing going on here that is not, it's like there's a phenomenon of reading on the screen, on the digital computer screen.
Yeah.
It's different than reading a book. It's a different experience, even though the words are the same.
I know, it's much more fun having a book in your
hands.
And
I think kids are, having been shown this once, getting it in their hands, they want it.
No, there's no way.
Why do they want it, Ken?
The kids that I hang out with, the LP is the furthest thing from their minds. What they're doing is they're logging on to CompuServe and they're downloading the Aerosmith songs directly from CompuServe now. They don't even mess with media anymore. They're beyond CD.
But Ken, you understand that records are selling again, that kids are buying more and more records again. This is a fact.
That's some 0.001% blip on the market.
But it's going up. Pearl Jam sold 50,000 copies. They wouldn't have sold 50,000 copies 4 years ago. Now, compared to the number of CDs that were sold, it's a small number.
Right.
But the trend line is in a direction that no one ever suspected 4 years ago.
That means that in 10,000 years, they'll sell, you know, 100 units a month.
We'll see.
All right, tell you what. I got to take a break here. And I'm going to start taking calls here because I want to see what you all think. Most of you, now some of my audience, of course, some of you in your teens and 20s may have never, this is scary to those of us, I'm in my mid-40s. Some of the people listening to it never owned an LP in their life.
Yeah.
Never owned an LP in their life.
They will soon if I get finished with them.
All right. Tell you what, I want to hear from you. Are there people out there who are still longing for LPs who think that LPs sound better than CDs, never mind the thing of price, which we'll get to also probably in this hour, which isn't a technical thing for these guys, but a lot of us have the feeling that the reasons LP disappeared so quickly is because they're getting an arm and a leg for us for the CDs. Do you prefer? Is there anybody out there that prefers albums over CDs? And, of course, those of you who have the other side. And if there's anybody... No, by the way, if there's anybody out there who says, I think cassettes are better, don't even bother calling.
8-tracks, dude.
Yeah, we don't even want to hear...
8-tracks.
your ears are so far gone that we don't even care. But CDs versus LPs. guys. By the way, if there's a woman out there who actually cares about this subject, God love you. We'd love to hear from you.
They're out there.
Because most of us don't think you exist. 1-800-456-1227 is the number. 1-800-456-1227. If you could force the record companies to bring back long-playing records, would you? 1-800-456-1227. While you call in, let me give you some news about a revolutionary, all-natural product that is energizing America, and it is called Ginsana. All-natural Ginsana. It is the first standardized ginseng extract. It is the only ginseng product scientifically tested for 25 years. And who uses Ginsana? Hey, middle-aged men and women and senior citizens and busy executives and college students and athletes. Ginsana is energizing America without sugar, without caffeine. It's Ginsana from SunSource Health Products, products that work naturally. If you'd like a free brochure, we would love to send you one. You just call 800-777-2000. 777-2000.
30 years ago, we made a promise to take care of each other.
Seems like only yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And today we're both taking better care of our health with Ensure.
More than a vitamin supplement, Ensure is a delicious drink with all the nutrients adults need to help stay healthy and active and be energetic.
Drink Ensure as a meal?
Or in between.
Ensure is even recommended number one by doctors as a source of complete balanced nutrition.
Ensure. To your health, honey.
Uh-uh. To our health.
Use as directed.
I hear this all the time. I don't have allergies, but I want a high-filtration vacuum cleaner to cut down on dust. I'm David Orrick, manufacturer of the 8-pound Orrick Hotel Vac. Our Sealock hypoallergenic upright has virtually no after dust. It's durable, lightweight, and the housing is guaranteed for 10 long years. Call me at 1-800-989-4200. I'll send you one to use for 15 days, no obligation. If you don't love it, you don't keep it. Call 1-800-989-4200 for a free brochure.
Upset stomach and headache? Listen to Cameron Rylance of Kingston, New York.
Your head's pounding. Your stomach is all churning.
But Cameron got relief with Bromo Seltzer. Bromo Seltzer's medically proven dual-action formula has both an effective fast-acting antacid and a non-aspirin pain reliever. It relieves upset stomach and headache fast. And with a non-aspirin pain reliever, Bromo Seltzer won't irritate your stomach the way the aspirin and Alka-Seltzer can.
Bromo Seltzer calms the stomach. It ends the headache.
Get relief with Bromo Seltzer. Use as directed.
If the thought of cancer scares you, well, you're not alone. That's because the Cancer Research Institute is here with help and hope. You'll find both in the Cancer Research Institute Help Book, What to Do If Cancer Strikes. It's written so millions of men and women like you can have the information you need to make decisions and deal with the disease. Now, if you or perhaps someone you love has been diagnosed with cancer, the Help Book can tell you about your choices, how to seek excellent care, and how to continue with a complete and productive life. Now, even if cancer is not part of your life, you're going to find it a valuable reference book to have on hand should things change. The book is yours if you'll just send your name, address, and $2 per copy to cover postage and handling to Cancer Research Institute Help Book, Department C, 133 East 58th Street, New York, New York, 10022, or call 1-800-99-CANCER. Once again, that number is 1-800-99-CANCER. 99 cancer.
Some heavy drugs can kill some of your brain cells, and that's it. And once your brain cell is dead, it's gone. It can't grow back.
Kids know about drugs.
You see person on drugs, they look so weird. They're like helpless. Yeah, because it looks like nothing can help them.
They talk about drugs.
One time in my schoolyard, I saw a needle over there.
Shouldn't you be talking with your kids about drugs? There's a book that can help. It's free from the U.S. Department of Education. It's got the facts you need and things you can do to make sure your kids know how to say no. Call 1-800-624-0100 for your free copy. Listen.
No is the most wonderful word in the world when it comes to drugs.
Just pick up the phone. 1-800-624-0100. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Welcome back. I'm Gil Gross. Michael, you're reviewing right now a turntable that costs how much?
$20,000.
Of course you did.
Okay, that's ridiculous. Better. But, yeah. You know, let's not get carried away. You can beat the sound of any CD player for about $1,000.
All right, let me go to Rich in Fort Myers. Hi, Rich.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
All righty.
Good.
Listen, I was just, I was listening to your show.
Yeah.
And I'm a longtime LP man myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to admit that I really have been converted to CDs. I really like the sound quality, and I like the compatibility. But the problem I think that we're having with CDs is that the record companies are turning these things out so quickly that the sound quality in the mastering process sounds really lousy. And that's why some of the old record albums tend to have a better sound quality to them.
Well, there's a point to be made with that. However, if you talk to even the people who do the best mastering, now Bill Englert does all this stuff for Rhino, and he's very fastidious.
Mm-hmm.
His quote, and I'll quote him, "I hate digital. Digital's the worst thing that ever happened to the industry. I've yet to hear a CD cut from the same source sound as good as the vinyl cut from the same source." You are right. Now, if you want to hear some great-sounding CDs, the Dunhill Compact Classics and the Mobile Fidelities, that's the state
right,
of the art.
Right.
But if you listen to the new Muddy Waters Folk Singer on CD, it's a wonderful, wonderful transfer. Listen to the LP they just released. It kills it. And Herb Belkin, who's the president of Mobile Fidelity, agrees.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit, you know, I haven't heard a new album in ages, but you know, I also am a Beatles fan, and I have to admit that, you know, when they re-released their catalog on disc, I mean, the sound quality is terrible. I love the albums because they, you know, they had the full richness
in
their sound.
Yeah, but see, hang on. That begs the whole question here. When those LPs were brought into the States, they had pseudo-stereo that was not realistic to what was recorded studios. When the CDs were recorded, those were faithful transcriptions from the original
Well,
tapes.
Wait, that's kind of a simplification, because what it was the later records were real stereo, and they were pressed by Capitol in real stereo. The Capitol records were not very good. The British ones were unbelievably good. But you're right, the first couple of records were disasters. They added echo to it, and they messed around with them.
Yeah, that duophonic nonsense. Sense of the Capitol head. All right, let me go to yes, we have a woman. I knew it was possible. Valerie in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, I love this. I think it's terrific. A couple of things I want to say. Number one, that I agree. I think this is a guy's thing, because all my musical education, and I know my friends are going to hate me, has come from guys.
Yeah.
You know, seriously. I mean,
guys are cool, Valerie. It's all right. It's all right.
But I have gone to CDs just because I'm a gypsy, and those LPs are hell to traipse around countries. I mean, I keep moving countries and towns and things. So I have switched to CDs, but I tell you who got my LP collections, the guys, because when I was there, I have friends who absolutely swear by LPs and refuse point blank to buy CDs. And so they got my collections. Lucky them. And now I'm sort of boo-hooing and thinking, oh, the great
They must
record.
Love you. They must love you.
Oh, they do. They love me.
Oh,
they all have hernias, Valerie.
Yes. You know, convenient.
Look,
choice. Fast food is great, but give me a gourmet meal anytime, and
yeah,
that's a record.
Yeah, French sauce. Go for it. Go for it, Michael.
I tell you, there was a radio station went out of business recently in New York City, and they sold off all their LPs.
I did that.
I went down there. That's right. I went down there, and it was like a bunch of sharks heard that Orson Welles was in the water.
That's right.
I've never seen anything like it. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll take your calls after this. Welcome back. I'm Gil Gross. Good to have you with me. We're talking about CDs versus LPs, everybody. Michael Fremmer is with me, the senior music editor of Absolute Sound magazine. He's the guy whose voice is from the studio. He says vinyl is better. The voice on the phone, Ken Pohlman, who is professor of music engineering at the University of Miami, who says get out of here. CDs are better than LPs any day of the week. Let's run through a whole mess of these phone calls, because the board is smoking here. And we'll go to Tom in Omaha. Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Pretty good.
So what do you think?
I'm going for the CDs.
Yeah?
I've got thousands of records. I've got thousands of CDs. I go with the CD 99.9% of the time.
Now why?
They sound better.
What kind of turntable do you have?
I've got an Harman Kardon.
A TC-60?
Oh, no, it's the cheaper one, the 40.
Well, you know, if you watched movies on 8mm home movies, you would say that videotape looked better, too. I think you ought to listen to a good, take some of your records down to a good stereo store and listen on a really good turntable. You might change your mind. You might not, but you might.
I understand that, but like was brought up before, if you have the equipment, it's going to sound good, but the majority of people don't have that kind of investment in that kind of equipment.
Mm-hmm. It's true enough. Can't argue with you there.
Yeah. I mean, we've got kids now. And, you know.
What's that little thing?
Yeah. No, well, that's one thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, kids and CDs get along okay, at least.
But just okay.
Yeah, just okay. But, you know, they can frisbee them a couple of times, and it doesn't mean they're over for life. And, man, LPs, it's like, I thank you for the call, Tom.
Sure.
Now, Tom, how old are you?
I'm 43.
Okay, so we're about the same age. I asked that only because I'm going to go to my next call now. You said that you're 43, so you're from the LP era. You think CDs are better. Now I got Chris on from Melbourne, Florida, who's 17. And Chris, you vote for what?
I vote for LPs.
Now, you see,
all right,
see exactly
Chris.
Exactly the opposite of the way everyone said this would go. Now, why?
Well, when my dad was alive, he introduced me to the LPs, and CDs were just coming in when I was getting into music. And
yeah.
I've always had the LPs, and I still collect 45s. There's a record store in Orlando that I'd go to and get 45s all the time.
Now, why do you think they're better?
I like the sound quality.
Now, what is it? Can you put it into words?
Well, I mean, the digital sound's good, but it's like colorizing a black and white movie. It totally takes something away from it.
Ken?
Well, how much live music do you actually listen to?
How do you mean?
Well, what's your point of reference? In other words, which is more accurate to real music?
I watch MTV, and I mean all that, and
saying live music. That's the reference, not what makes us feel good and warm and fuzzy. It's what live music should sound like,
which is the most accurate. One second.
I like the LPs because, I mean, that's what music is. I mean, a friend of mine has a jukebox that it plays old 45s. I mean, they've got the CD jukeboxes out, but that's not jukebox. But 45s are the jukebox.
Let me get back to something. Now, Ken, you're saying it's not what makes us feel warm and fuzzy. And by the way, I got a ton of CDs, and I'm buying them because, even though, you know, Michael is telling me that I've got to go out and, you know, get a better turntable.
Absolutely.
Gross. Yeah, but still, I got a pretty good turntable. But where the hell was I going with this?
Well, here's the idea. I will save you. If I want to go out and have a nice musical experience,
I know what it is.
Out to a concert hall and listen to an orchestra.
Yeah, no, hold on.
I don't go home and listen to a stereo.
This is what it was. I know I couldn't think of it because it was such a weird thought. I couldn't repeat it in my own mind. You said we should listen to what is more musically true, not what makes us feel warm and fuzzy.
Sure.
I'm listening to music for entertainment. I want what makes me feel warm and fuzzy. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not like Chris is nostalgic for the old days. He's 17 years old. It's not like he's saying, oh, this reminds me of 1964 when I first heard. That's not 1964. He didn't exist.
He just thinks if
it makes you feel warm and fuzzy and it's a better acoustic experience for you and it's a better oral experience totally for you, why not? What's wrong with that?
Well, I have nothing wrong about that. There's no law that says you can't listen to LPs. I'm just saying LPs are not faithful, that's all.
I still think they sound more like live music, and Keith Jarrett, who plays the piano, thinks that when his piano is digitized, it doesn't sound like his piano, but a record sounds more like his piano. He'll give up a little pitch control and a little wow and flutter to get the nuance, which is where he says is where the musical intonation and the meaning of the music is.
See, I hate wow and flutter. As a longtime clarinetist, I know what perfect pitch is. When I hear wow and flutter, I go nuts.
Okay, but so does Keith. Keith is in the same position, yet he says he prefers the sound of analog and records. So, you know, the issue isn't whether you're a musician or whether you hear live music. There's something else going on here that I don't know if we'll ever answer, but...
All right, let me go from Chris to Justin in St. George, Utah. Hi, Justin.
Hey, what's going on? Good show, Gil.
Thank you, my friend. So what do you... we're finally talking about, after all this Whitewater stuff, which we'll get back to, we're finally talking about something that really means something to us.
You know it.
I know. That's why I'm doing it. So anyhow, what do you think?
Yeah, I think CDs rule. I mean, I bought a couple LPs in my life, but here's the real truth.
Yeah.
LPs sound clear to me, because I've been to a lot of live music concerts.
CDs or LPs? CDs?
CDs.
Mm-hmm.
I can take them with me. I can use them in the car. I can't do that with an LP. An LP, hey, you know, what am I going to do? Try and wire up a turntable in my dash? I mean, it doesn't.
Somebody actually did that once. It was a joke.
Chrysler made it.
The 45 thing.
Right, three plays. You got three plays, and that was the end of it. convenience and portability, no one's making an argument. I love CDs for
and
that,
I
too.
I think the sound quality is much better. I used to install stereos at a local stereo shop here in town.
Mm-hmm.
I used to also work with home systems, and the home systems that I always had, I never even bought a turntable. I just thought, hey, you know, it's an antiquated machinery, you know, belongs in the museum, and that's all it should be in.
It's as up-to-date as can be, and the high-tech turntables of today use most modern technology,
Yeah, they got to send it through a processor to clean up the...
Absolutely not.
Yeah, but you know, but one of the problems one of the problems is getting to be, Michael, you take your turntable down. Now, we're not talking about being in New York, Chicago, or L.A., but I don't know, Justin's in St. George, Utah, and he takes the turntable down to the shop, and the guy stares at it and goes, what the hell is this?
You don't take it to that shop. You take it to a high-end audio store, and they'll talk the same language.
What's that, Justin?
Yeah, no, a lot of people around here, you know, are kind of antiquated, too. I mean, hey, let's just face it. It's part, you know, we're moving into the 21st century.
Do you think film is antiquated too, Justin? Would you say everything should be videotape? We should watch videotapes and not watch movies on film celluloid is...
Hey, videotapes are antiquated. I'd say we go to
laser discs.
Totally.
But film is better than laser disc, Justin. Don't you think film is higher resolution than a laser disc?
No.
You don't think so?
But to get down to a higher...
Not so.
Dot resolution than you can any type of film.
Even Ken, I think, will agree that as good as Laserdisc is, a film is a higher resolution medium.
Yeah, in the future, you will have a much cleaner image.
That's the future, and in the future, we'll have better digital, and even I will think it's the most wonderful thing in the world, but for right now...
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
No,
I will.
Won't.
He won't. He's up in the night.
Justin, thank you for the call.
No problem, man.
Let's
take
go
it
to,
easy. Keep
thank you, man. All right, let's go to Maple Heights, Ohio. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Mike. Mike there. I have to agree with Mike.
God bless you.
I was just listening to you guys on my 1941 Zenith tube radio.
Love it.
Right.
And I have to say that analog and LP forever. It has a better sound, and that's all I have is records. I had gotten into CD for a short time, and I did not like it. I listen to mostly classical music, and it's just the violins. They just sound steely on the CDs. And the analog is more faithful to the original. And I do go to live concerts, too, so I, you know, compare.
Yeah, well, you got the best orchestra in the world there in Cleveland. So.
Cleveland Orchestra, yeah. Right on, yeah.
Some of the worst recordings of orchestral music were made under George Zell. You know, the story about George Zell is he used to take an AR-3A and put it under his couch.
Is that right?
And then he would play back a tape that they'd make for him, and he would say, it just doesn't sound bright enough. Turn up the treble. And they would make it brighter and brighter, so it sounded good coming from under his couch.
Yeah, we know this all raises a very interesting question. That is, what exactly are we trying to record here? Because if you look at a conductor's point of view from an orchestra standpoint, and what he hears is absolutely different from what someone out in row 20 hears.
Absolutely.
So the question is, what are we trying to convey here?
Yeah, I think it's easier sound to listen to for a longer time. I don't get listener fatigue as I do from CDs.
Okay, that's something that comes up a lot. Let's say that. A lot of people who complain about CDs say they can listen to CDs. They don't know what it is. It's not that they hate them or anything. They're buying them. But I don't know. After listening to CDs for an hour, I'm worn out. Whereas I listen to LPs, I just seem to be able to play one after another.
Right,
What is that? Ken, have you heard that?
I've heard it, but I don't experience that, and I just can't give it a lot of credibility, really, to be honest with you.
I can't listen to a CD for more than a half an hour, and I don't. When I want to sit and listen for pleasure, I can only listen to records. When I want to listen in the background, cleaning the house or something, I listen to CDs. But when I'm sitting down and turn the lights out, I can't do it.
Well, that's why your CDs sound bad. You got the vacuum cleaner on.
And if I could just add one thing, you really don't have to spend a lot of dough. I have in my system, it's older, it's Dynaco equipment, and Mike can Mike can probably attest to that. And you can pick that up pretty inexpensively. It's old tube gear, and I have some of the old quad electrostats, and I listen on a well-tempered table with a Grado cartridge, and it is a real nice system.
All right, Bob, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a quick break. Very interesting.
Love that, Bob.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the board. The calls are coming in. By the way, it's hilarious. I mean, the calls are smoking. But I'm looking at the board, I'm getting a lot of baby boomers who've obviously invested a lot in CDs, even though they grew up in LPs, and I've got some teenagers continuing to call in who love LPs, which is exactly the opposite of the way everybody told me this would go. Let me take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll take more of your calls on the Gil Gross Show right after this.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash, and I've got a message, but it's for adults only. That's you adults, young and old, who didn't graduate from high school. I bet you've regretted that decision more than once, but you don't have to regret it any longer. Now you have a second chance to earn that high school credential. You can take the GED. and you can use your GED to get a job or increase your salary by as much as $3,000 a year. Many have already done so. You can also use your GED to qualify for further education and training. So help yourself, help your family. Take that second chance and get your GED. Join the winner's circle, the 5 million who have taken that second chance and have gotten their GED. All you have to do is take that first step and contact your local adult education center. Then ask them how you can get your GED.
If you don't have a high school diploma, be one of the 700,000 adults who will take the GED test this year. Prove how smart you really are. A public service of the American Council on Education.
Remember it, GED.
My mother threw me out, said I was too much trouble. Out here, I don't have a job or a room or anything. Most nights, if it's not too cold, I just sleep outside somewhere. Last week was my 16th birthday. Not much of a party. I wish I could go back home. I'd put up with anything, really. I just don't know what else to do.
Thousands of kids like Ellen are thrown out onto the streets. Covenant House helps these kids with food, clothing, a place to stay, or just someone to talk to. Call us on our 9 line, 1-800-999-9999. 24 hours a day, no questions asked. That's the Covenant House 9 line, 1-800. And keep dialing 9, it's free.
Sometimes I think it's not real, it's somebody else. I just don't feel like myself anymore.
A message from the Ad Council.
This is ridiculous. I mean, I talk about all these hard news things all week, and not only is the switchboard going nuts, but I mean, we're sitting here during the break, and we're talking about our favorite albums from 30 years ago. This is pathetic.
Why not?
Well, what is it? Is it like something in men's jeans?
I know it's in my jeans. No, it's music. I mean, music
it is music, but some night we've got to do a show and find out why women aren't record collectors like this.
Because they have boyfriends who do it for them. You know, they don't have to bother with it.
Stop.
That's why I cook all the meals in my house. My wife doesn't cook, so I have to cook all the meals. But it's not like I like doing it, but I do like doing it. So. That's another story.
Let's go to Mike in Plainfield, New Jersey. Hi, Mike.
Good evening, Gil. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing fine.
That's
how are
the
you?
Home of one of the best record stores in the country, Rock Dreams, Plainfield, New Jersey.
Where is that? I don't know if that one.
It's in a shopping center. They have everything on vinyl you could ever want. That's where I order a lot of my stuff from.
Okay, I think I know where it is.
Anyway, what's on your mind, Mike?
What's on my mind is I think certain music sounds good on CDs and certain sounds good on vinyl. I kind of like classical music on vinyl. I like the hard rock and some jazz on CDs and some on LP. And I've got a Luxman turntable, and my cartridge costs as much as my CD player does. But
well, that's the thing. See, most people want something. The great thing about CDs, they plug this thing in.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing. Yeah. They don't have to balance anything.
That is the great thing.
Yeah, you
that's
plug
right.
it in and
well,
it
see, that, that,
plays.
That,
you don't have to know anything. Music comes out of it.
That's the thing. I mean, you go on a trip, you throw the CD or the cassette in the car. You can't take the turntable in the car.
That's true.
But the kids, I traveled this year to North Carolina, mm-hmm. and there was a young kid there, about 13 years old, had the CD player strapped on her head the whole way, and I had the cassette, you know, thing.
Yeah.
No turntable in the van. No, it didn't work.
Yeah.
But I think it's a toss-up.
This guy should be a mediator.
And I'm a musician, too.
Yeah, and I use, I listen to tapes on my way to work. I, you know, use the subway, so I've got like a Walkman and headphones and stuff. So, and that's the other thing about the sickness of this. A lot of us have, we got the LP, and that got worn out, so we have the CD. Then we had to make a set of it for the car for our Walkman.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so we've got everything in like at least three different versions.
And some people out in Alaska still have 8-tracks, I bet.
That's right. Oh, there's a magazine dedicated to 8-tracks called 8-Track World. And these are fanatics. I think 8-track was the last great technology ever invented. One guy said, my gas pedal broke, and I was able to take an 8-track and wedge it in there and drive. Can you do that with a cassette? No. Can you do that with a CD?
Come on,
no.
Come on now, Michael. Watch who you're calling a fanatic now. Be careful.
No, I wouldn't be too good with that term there.
I've got a friend who has a basement full of Muntz 4-tracks. Let's go. Yeah, let's go to Nick and Ann. That's
Munch.
The real thing, man. Let's go to Nick in Akron, Ohio. Hi, Nick.
Well, hello there. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a few points. I'll be very, very quick.
Thank you.
I'm a record show promoter besides being a collector myself, so I get to know a lot of these vinyl lovers. And I'd like to, first of all, I haven't heard discussion much tonight on the scientific difference between vinyl and CDs. I haven't heard the fact that a CD is simply sampled, that there's actually more information, more music on an LP. Now, I'd like to hear what your sound editor or what the engineer has to say about that.
Ken, you want to go first?
No, go ahead.
Well, I would certainly defer to Ken in terms of describing digital technology. My feeling is that a record is an analog of the actual waveform is a continuous signal. It adds distortions of different kinds. The CD is a sampled format where the analog waveform is sampled and they use numbers to describe what the wave might look like. But I don't think it's a high enough resolution medium to get everything. And so while it has no distortion of the kind that analog has, it has a different kind of distortion, a different kind of problem that is what I think leads to the fatigue. It's kind of an uncertainty thing. That's my quick take on the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a real tough topic that would take about three more shows to handle. But the essence here is a thing called the Nyquist sampling theorem that was devised back in 1927. And it says basically that you can take a audio sound and you can sample it and you can retrieve all the information within that sampled bandwidth. And if you're doing brain surgery or something and you want to record some data signals off of some guy's head or something, you use a digital recorder because those sampled values are more accurate than an analog recorder.
I would.
So it's a more accurate data instrumentation method of recording audio or any kind of data.
Well, for data, I agree. You know, Mike Moffat, who designs the Theta equipment, got into a big fight with somebody. He used to design military smart bombs using digital encoding.
Yeah.
And he said if you designed a smart bomb using the Sony 1630 digital encoder, you would hit the orphanage and kill all the kids. So, you know.
Or I think we've wandered from the topic somewhat here.
He just says it's not as good as it could be.
I don't know. The smart weapon stuff is all digital, so I don't know what he's
right.
talking about.
No, he says, but the 1630 isn't a high enough sampling rate or good enough to actually be accurate, that what he used to design for the military was a much higher order of digital.
Let me say this.
The Soviets are still using vacuum tubes in their MiGs.
That's
so
right.
There you go.
All right, let me go to Andrew.
Look where they are today.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
But their MiGs sound better.
CDs may sound better and they may last longer than an LP
or
a, but I miss the liner notes. I miss the cover art.
Yeah.
It's another issue.
You know, it used to be if you had a crush on, like, some female singer or something,
right.
You know, the album, you got a real nice picture of her, you know?
Yeah, the picture.
Now, it's like you got to get out a magnifying glass or, you know, whatever.
To read it. And you knew who the songwriters were. You knew who the publishing firms were.
Mm-hmm.
You just had more information on the LPs. And
hey, who reads
I still
anymore?
Buy used LPs now. And I record them on a cassette tapes. And I refuse to buy a CD until you can record a pre-recorded CD onto a blank CD so I can make up my own CDs.
You can do that now, actually, if you've got about $8,000 and you're willing to spend $40 on the blanks. But I think that technology will become more affordable if they don't try to force us all into this mini disc business, which I think is a flop already, thank God.
Just a quick item. You can get a CD recorder now for about $3,000 and the blanks for about $20.
Great.
Prices are coming way down.
Coming down.
And another great thing about CDs, if you're going to have laser hemorrhoid surgery, if you swallow your favorite CD a half hour before surgery, you can listen to your favorite tunes during the operation.
Yeah.
Let me...
Yes.
Don't try that at home, kids. Let me take a break here. Millions of people supplement their diets with garlic without knowing all the facts. Now, if you're interested, I used to have one of those laser hemorrhoid places as a sponsor at a station in New York, and I said that during the ad. And I don't know what happened to those guys. Millions of people supplement their diets with garlic without knowing all the facts. Now, if you're interested in garlic, you should know not all garlic tablets are created equal. One leading brand recommends 6 tablets a day. Good grief. Another doesn't even measure the allicin potential, and that's thought to be responsible for garlic's goodness. Well, and the store brands, don't even ask me about those. Those aren't any good. That's why you should know about Garlic brand garlic. Garlic contains almost twice as much allicin potential as any other brand, and that is more of garlic's goodness. Garlic is a convenient one-a-day tablet. You'll do that. It's odor-free, it's tasteless, it's easy to swallow and digest. So you ask for Garlic brand garlic. And remember, for good health. Exercise. Cut that fat and sugar from your diet, and you watch that cholesterol and blood pressure, too. Garlic from SunSource at Kmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, Winn-Dixie, Eckerd, Osco, Albertsons, and all health food stores. And for a free brochure, you just call them at 800-777-2000. 800-777-2000.
For all those who tremble uncontrollably at the mere mention of 7-day, 14-event VCR programming, for all those who'd rather go for a root canal than pick out a new answering machine, who think tweeters and woofers is a new pet shop, that CD-ROM is the hottest thing in rap music. Yes, for all those who find today's technology a bit confusing, there's Radio Shack. At 6,500 locations nationwide, we've got 25,000 people to help you figure it all out. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
If you need extra strength medication to treat itchy skin, you're not alone.
It's kind of like a steady itch. It's itching right now.
Victor Neal of Westford, Massachusetts, discovered new Extra Strength Gold Bond Medicated Powder.
I put it on and the itching stopped.
Extra Strength Gold Bond has extra strength triple action. We take our proven absorbing action, then add pain reliever for medicating action and extra zinc oxide for drying action.
Extra Strength Gold Bond has relieved the itching.
New Extra Strength Gold Bond Medicated Powder. Use as directed.
When my son was 7 years old, I wouldn't take him to the playground. There were always those older kids messing around, drinking and doing drugs. I was afraid they might start shooting and my boy would be right in the middle. When he was 10 years old, I told him to come right home after school and not stop to talk to anyone. You never know when someone would ask him for money, or maybe worse. When he was 15, I told him to stay away from the dances because there could be a fight or someone taking out a beef on someone. Three of his friends were killed. Now my son's a man, and I realize he's never been a kid.
Give your children back their childhood. Do something now. Call 1-800-WE-PREVENT for free information that will show you how you can help protect your children from drugs and violence in your neighborhood. Call 1-800-WE-PREVENT. Together we will take a bite out of crime. A public service message of this station, the Crime Prevention Coalition, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
The first thing you notice when you enter the doors of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is love. Hi, I'm Maria Conchita Alonso with a word about St. Jude Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Cancer-stricken children and their parents arrive at the hospital hopeless and far from home, but they don't stay that way. The staff at St. Jude offers them hope and gives them a home away from home. No matter who they are, where they're from, or their financial status, if St. Jude can treat their disease, the children are accepted. Since St. Jude opened in 1962, no child has ever been turned away for financial reasons. Bringing hope where there is none, that's the mission of St. Jude. Wouldn't you want the same for your child? For information on what you can do to help St. Jude's fight against cancer, call 1-800-USS-JUDE. The number is 1-800-USS-JUDE.
All right, before I have to get back to the real-life world of politicians and all that nonsense, I got 30 seconds here, so a 10-second thing from both of you. Can CDs sound better because?
Well, they sound better because they are faithful. And I like faithful things. But listen, Gil.
So you didn't vote for Clinton? Is that what you're telling me?
No, absolutely not. Dick Nixon and the LP are both dead. God rest their souls.
I say 8 years of Reagan, then I can't buy records anymore. What a wretched decade. But now things are getting better again. I think records sound more like real music than CDs.
Michael Fremmer from Absolute Sound Magazine. Ken Pullman from the University of Miami. I thank you both for being with me, man. Yeah. I'm Gil Gross. Keep playing that music. I'll be talking to you.